The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media. Give us feedback on this podcast or ask tech questions by calling the voicemail hotline at 877-414-5856. That's 877-414-5856 to get your questions answered.
Were you expecting the media to take hold of the rootkit story like they have?
At some level, I guess I was, but I went into this not without any kind of real expectation. It was just a matter of reporting and reporting what I'd found.
You're kind of a software rock star, so to speak.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Well, you've been developing it for years and years and years at SysInternals, and one of your programs is Rootkit Revealer.
Yep.
That's what you used to discover that Sony was doing something that was rather nefarious.
That's right. So, yeah, I just ran Rootkit Revealer on one of my systems and found cloaked objects that looked suspicious. Proceeded to investigate and eventually, through the help of some other tools, connected it to Sony's DRM software that I'd installed on my machine a few days earlier.
You had purchased the CD.
It was Van Zandt's Get Right with the Man.
You installed the software it came with?
So you stick the CD in the drive, and it auto-runs will pop up an installer dialog box with a EULA in it that says that it needs to install some software in order for you to play the CD. You click Next, and it goes through a progress bar where it's installing some stuff, and after it finishes, it launches this player, which you need to use to listen to the contents of the CD or to rip it or to burn backup copies of it.
And no red flags went up when that happened?
Red flags in terms of?
Well, usually when I throw in a CD and it says I need to install something, I take the CD right out.
Well, I assumed it was, really I had had no experience with copy-protected CDs like this before. And what I expected is it was going to be installing something, maybe Sony's proprietary player. The fact is that there was no way to say no to that thing without and still be able to listen to the CD.
Could you listen to it in a regular player?
No. I couldn't. I mean, when I ran Windows Media Player on the machine with the CD inserted, Windows Media Player acted as if there was no CD in the drive. That, I don't know if that experience is consistent with what everybody else has seen, but that was mine. Anyway.
Most likely. It was trying to force you to install its software. Now, what exactly is or do you think the software is doing?
Which software are you referring to? The Rootkit or the Cloak or the DRM software?
Well, let's go with both. One and then the other.
The Rootkit is what I really investigated because that's what triggered my whole discovery in the first place. The fact that there was some driver on my machine that was redirecting Windows APIs so that Windows utilities like Explorer and Process Explorer and Task Manager were unable to see a process and some files and directories and some register keys that were actually present. It's a very small driver. It's a very simple piece of code. In fact, it's too simple in their development of it. It has a number of flaws. But the DRM software itself that it was cloaking, that's something I didn't really investigate to any extent just because in the context of this story, it's not really relevant. And, it advertises itself as copy protected, so you'd expect there to be digital rights management related technology there. And investigation of that kind of technology also puts you at risk of violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. So I focused my investigation on the Rootkit.
You wanted to play along, and it turns out that that wasn't necessarily a good thing to do.
Right.
Do you think Sony has responded positively to this unveiling?
I think this is kind of a textbook case in how to mishandle a bad public relations problem.
Why do you say that?
Well, their response was to say, "Well, we didn't do anything wrong. The EULA does disclose adequately what's going on. The use of this cloaking technology is acceptable, but nevertheless, for those people that really want to get rid of it, we'll give you a patch that will decloak." That patch actually decloaks the software, but it does it in an unsafe way. And for those people that really want to uninstall it, you've got to jump through two hoops, one of which includes filling out a form on their site that requires the name of the CD, where you purchased the CD, your email address. And if you look at their privacy policy on that page, it says they can use your email address and add it to their marketing list and the marketing list of third parties. To even get to the point where where you get taken to a page that says they'll contact you within one business day with uninstall directions. And I still haven't received mine. It looks like, based on some comments from people on the blog, that some people are starting to receive uninstall directions. I haven't received mine yet. So they make this multi-step procedure to get the uninstaller when I see absolutely no reason behind, you know, the motivation to put hurdles in people's way like that. Just going to anger them further. If they have already decided that they don't want this stuff on there, they're already angry at Sony. This is just pouring some salt in that. And that definitely has not made me any more of a Sony friend than I was after I discovered the rootkit in the first place.
Some people have called for an all-out boycott of at least Sony's music products. Do you think that's a little extreme?
I guess I can't make judgment call for how different people feel about the issue. I don't plan on boycotting Sony's products in general. I mean, I don't see a large company like Sony as really being a faceless single entity. It's just like Microsoft. Mm-hmm. You know, Microsoft is composed of thousands of different people, a lot of nice people, and maybe a few people that skirt near the edge of ethics when it comes to software, and I think that's the situation with Sony. So as far as copy-protected CDs, I plan on never purchasing one of those again. Several people that I've talked to about this story made the observation that when you go buy DRM protected content from Apple or any other online music provider, you actually have more rights than you do when you go buy the CD. One of these copy-protected CDs, which limits you to burning at most 3 copies of the content and burning it to other DRM form, Sony's DRM format.
On the CD, did it make full claim that it was copy-protected?
Yeah, well, Amazon's site, which is where I purchased it from, has next to the title of the CD in brackets, copy-protected content. It didn't, and never having come across that before, I didn't realize what that meant. At the CD, on the back of the CD, it's interesting because most CDs, you don't associate them with computer software requirements or hardware requirements, and these CDs do have on the back a little box that says, you know, minimum system requirements with versions of Windows and how much disk space and so on. So there is some indication there. As far as disclosing that it's going to be installing things on your machine that are going to be hidden, that you're not going to be able to see, you're not going to be able to uninstall, that's not going to identify itself readily as being part of this software. Of course, there's no disclosure of that on the CD or in the EULA that you agree to.
And that's where your beef kind of...
That's really the core. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, if a company sells you software and they say, we're going to install stuff that's hidden, stuff that you're not going to be able to see, going to be running all the time. Even if you come across it, you're not really going to be able to tell it's from us because it's misidentifying itself. Do you agree to that? Well, at least you've got some idea of what you're doing.
And you wouldn't have agreed to that, I'm sure.
You know, if they're disclosing like that, you know, then let the market decide whether they want to agree to that. But if they're going to not tell you that, you haven't had an opportunity to make an educated decision.
Do you think the market really cares, though?
Based on the reaction that I've seen to this, it seems like there are a lot of people out there that cares. I don't know about the general public. I think the people that are watching the story right now are somewhat self-selected. They're usually appear to be more computer savvy than probably my mom is, who probably doesn't really understand the issues here. But Sony's head of digital content gave an interview to NPR last Friday, and he says in it, why should, and I'm, this isn't the literal quote, but the essence is there. It's, why should people care about rootkits? They don't understand what one is anyway. And that's a dangerous attitude. So somebody, the people that do understand what they are the people that need to pursue this and get the issues about what's acceptable and what's legal ironed out. You know, the average person is also not an expert on contract law, and that's why you've got people that specialize in that area to come up with contracts or real estate law, for example. So it's the same thing here. People that are experts in computers and digital rights laws and behaviors, those are the people that need to be arguing this thing on behalf of the consumer.
It begs a bigger question, then. Why should we be concerned about rootkits?
Well, the reason you should be concerned about rootkits is because when you install software that's hidden on your machine, you've essentially given up part of your computer, control of part of your computer. You have no way of managing those files, the software components that are running from a security perspective or from a reliability perspective. I pointed out in my blog entry this morning that if the rootkit ends up crashing your machine, there's really no way for you at that point to connect it back to the software that's associated with it, or in this case, of easily uninstalling it, or even finding out that you can uninstall it. So, you know, there's basically some stuff embedded on your machine now that you can't get rid of and you can't see.
Rootkit Revealer, how does it work?
It performs two scans of your system, or actually multiple scans, but essentially two scans, one at a very high level and one at a very low level. Because rootkits filter Windows APIs at different levels, depending on the rootkit technology. But the bottom line is that there's going to be a difference in what applications see that use Windows APIs versus what's really there. And Rootkit Revealer takes a look at the system through the eyes of the Windows API and then compares that with a very low-level scan of the system that doesn't rely on the APIs. Discrepancies in where things show up at the low level but not at the Windows API level can indicate that something's there actively cloaking that stuff. And that's what it reports as discrepancies.
Did you create this out of a necessity?
Bryce and I actually created it over a year ago in-house. When we've seen rootkits, the potential use of rootkits, becoming a real possibility or probability as of last couple of years. And we already had developed extensive file system technologies, part of the SysInternals freeware and the work we'd done at WinTernals. So it really wasn't too hard to put the technology we had laying around putting the pieces together to make the tool. And we had made the tool, but basically sat on it until Mike Denseglio, a Microsoft security expert, gave a talk at the RSA conference earlier this year about rootkits and really kind of brought it to the computer trade press attention, the issue of rootkits. And at that point we said, okay, this thing has gotten a lot of publicity and people are probably going to start using rootkits, so let's go ahead and release this.
Your software goes as far as to help you pinpoint a possible rootkit.
Mm-hmm.
How, or does it help remove that rootkit?
That's an interesting question because it's one that really has no good answer, at least not one that's satisfying. If you discover the presence of a rootkit and it's not one that, unless you get specific instructions from somebody as to how to uninstall it, how to delete it from your machine, if you're really concerned about potential security risk of malware being on your machine, your only recourse is to reinstall Windows, to scrub the disk and reinstall Windows. The problem is that even in this case, deleting the rootkit disabled my CD functionality, just doing a brute force deletion. But really when I disabled the parts that were cloaked, there's other parts of the Sony DRM software that are not cloaked. And that might be the case with malware, where some parts are cloaked and some parts are not cloaked. They might even anticipate cleaning software. The problem is, while Windows is online and the rootkit is running, you can't trust anything. Any Windows API can be compromised. The delete file API can be compromised. So it looks like it works when it really doesn't work. And that's just a very simple example of the system lying to you. It can get as time goes on, rootkits certainly will get much more sophisticated in their abilities to hide and to keep themselves hidden, and even if they're partially detected, to be able to reestablish themselves in different ways on the machine to circumvent a deletion. So the bottom line is, you find evidence of rootkit, you care about security, you need to reinstall.
Is this something that security software companies are going to be looking at integrating within their current suite?
You've already seen F-Secure doing it with, and they've got a rootkit detector that's very similar to Rootkit Revealer in beta form. It's called Blacklight. That's the first major antivirus company that's showing an interest in this, but there's for sure other ones, including Panda Software in Spain, and Microsoft's integrated specific rootkit detection into their Microsoft Malicious Software Removal Tool. So they detect some of the more widely used rootkits, and also provide the ability to clean them, because since they're targeting specific instances and implementations, they can develop cleaning steps for those particular rootkits. So I think it's just a matter of time before rootkit detection becomes a general part of antivirus.
Or any kind of a security measure.
Yeah, any kind of security system. I would hope that the use of rootkit legitimate software, like digital rights management software, that like we've seen with Sony, is actually, hopefully this is the last case that we see of this, and that the story makes it enough of an issue that companies won't want to do it, either for the PR backlash or for the legal ramifications of it. As far as malware goes, we're going to be seeing more and the greater and greater use of rootkits and malware. In fact, there's already examples of malware out there that use rootkit technology to embed themselves and hide themselves on systems, ones including examples that I've studied personally that are extremely insidious and really cannot even be cleaned off a Windows computer while the Windows is online. Cool Web Search is another example of a really popular piece of malware that's already been identified as using rootkit technology.
Are there legitimate uses for rootkit technologies?
I don't see any legitimate use for them, just for the fact that they are compromising the reliability and security manageability of a computer. I think the bottom line is people want to be fair about digital content. These DRM schemes are targeting a tiny minority of hackers that even DRM is going to be have some limited effectiveness in stopping from getting after this stuff. And the rootkit is just a layer on top of the DRM as a roadblock in the face of these hackers. My mom is not going to go and reverse engineer the DRM or analyze it and figure out how to make illegal copies of a CD beyond the three that the DRM gives you.
If companies don't respond to this particular situation as it has unfolded, what do you think it's going to take for them to wake up and to chart a different course, taking those extra steps to protecting their content?
It's one thing to have a PR problem, but if somebody else has already taken the brunt of it, and then other companies start coming out with it, and then users start saying, oh, well, it's just a fact of life, that's a slippery slope to go down. But if there's a financial impact to the story, then that'll definitely make people think twice. I think the story is not over yet. Just unfolding.
It's so sad and scary, but we appreciate having software like yours helping us figure out what's going on in the background.
Well, it's glad to hear that people are getting good use out of it.
Oh, yeah. Have been for years. Well, of course, I mean, the years that you've been developing software through SysInternals, not the actual rootkit
revealer.
Yeah,
which actually comes out to about 10 years now.
Yeah, you've been doing it probably about as long as I have. I mean, in terms of writing software versus reviewing software.
Yep, I mean, you and I contacted each other very early on, I remember.
Years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, when we were kids. Mark, thanks for your time.
All right, no problem, Chris.
Live streaming of The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media and Limelight Networks. Download Windows Media Player 10 to listen to The Chris Perillo Show live every Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific, GMT-8.